Hey, hold on. How about
Log Talk Radio.
Yep. Or I just heard a commercial.
What about now?
Nope.
Huh? Can you hear the music now?
No.
Can you hear now, huh?
No music.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Don't worry, we're not on yet.
Okay, I hear music now. And it just went off.
You can hear it. Okay, don't worry about it. We'll catch later on. Let me get it started. Hold on. Good evening, everyone. This is Guy Michael Washington, the tree shaker. That's right. Yeah. We're here tonight. We've got a special program. We're going to be talking about Brother Prentice Pons, who is currently incarcerated in Oklahoma State Department of Corrections on a charge that he says he's innocent of and which we strongly, wholeheartedly believe. And we want him to know that we got his back. So before we get to going there, we're also going to have a few other guests who are going to be speaking on his behalf. And we just want Brother Pons to know that you're not by yourself. We're going to give you an opportunity tonight to let everybody feel and tell us what you think is on your mind, because if something wasn't done right and you feel that you've been incarcerated wrong, we're not going to tolerate an injustice system here on any level in any state. Tonight we're going to have our special guest is Francetta Luana Mace, who's also a pastor, and she's been on the show before and also an advocate for Brother Pons' release. And we also got Sister Nyatt is going to be on, as well as Sister Yolanda Washington, who is with a group advocating Brother Pons' release. And by the way, she's going to be doing something on March the 26th of next year, a rally in Tulsa to fight for Brother Pons' release as well. So we're definitely going to keep a sharp ear to the ground on that moment in time and hope that Brother Pons can win his release. And then we're also going to have few more guests tonight, and we're going to speak on what tonight's show as well as next show is going to be about. So again, all of you who are on right now, we're just going to kick it around for a few more minutes because we still got about another minute before the show actually officially starts. But I just want to get that point down so if you hear it, and again, you already know that we've started everything. So let me go on the round table right quick and see who all we have here so far. Who's numbers 305-2440. Whose number is that? Hello?
That's Nod. Hello? Yeah, that's Nod. I'm here.
Can you Nod?
Nod.
Can you
hear it? Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So I'm asking you a question. I need to get some feedback so I won't be talking to myself, you know. That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was speaking there or not.
Okay, no. Okay, so we got that. Okay, brother, now tell us a little bit about who you are before we get it started. I mean, we got, like I said, about another 45 seconds here before we get officially on. So what is your interest tonight? What are you doing here?
I'm just trying to see what else other people have been dealing with. I'm a veteran in the United States Navy. I've been for 2.5 years. I only enlisted as an aviation warfare specialist, and I cross-rated to CTR. So I held a top secret security clearance. I've definitely held up secrets that pertain to national security. So I've seen, trained, and done a lot of stuff in my short time in the Navy. I recently was falsely accused by my girlfriend here in Oklahoma City, and I've been dealing with that case ever since February, trying to figure out why I wasn't given a fair trial and why, as a veteran in the state and in this country, I don't have more resources to actually prove my innocence. So I'm just here to listen on what other people have been doing, kind of see how other people have been judging the situation in the state.
Okay. All right, that's cool. All right. And now let's get back to y'all. Let me give me a few minutes and we get started back on. Then we're going to go on air officially here in about 30 seconds, so excuse me if you would. Again, everybody, this is Michael Washington, your guide right here at People Power Radio. We got a special program tonight, and we're going to be focusing and highlighting on a brother by the name of Prentice Pond, who is currently right now serving a life sentence and 25 years right here in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. And like Brother Pond feels, and we do agree that he is innocent of these charges. And for the most part, he feels, and we believe that he needs to be set free immediately, not next week, not next month, but right now. And we're going to give him an opportunity here pretty shortly to tell us why he feels he needs to be released and why he figures he is incarcerated right now. This is your radio show, the show where your thoughts, your ideas, and opinions count. No matter who you are, race, creed, or color, we're going to listen to you. It's all about what this radio broadcast is all about. People Power Radio, again, thank you all very much for tuning in. We want to invite you all to listen to us every Saturday evening at 8 o'clock. Our phone number is 563-999-3789. So, again, all of you are welcome to be a part of our show. We're going to have a very interesting show tonight, and we're going to take this opportunity right now and ask Brother Pond to introduce himself and tell us why he's here tonight. Brother Pond, go ahead. Tell us why you're here tonight.
My name is Prentice Eugene Pond II. I'm here tonight to give insight on my case. I'm currently incarcerated. And excuse me if I get emotional, because I do at times when I talk about my case. I was wrongfully convicted, wrongfully accused, wrongfully prosecuted. I'm currently doing life plus 25 for insurance fraud and robbery. I've never did anything wrong as far as that case goes. I've been incarcerated for the past 5 years and still fighting for my freedom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. You want me to just tell you what's going on?
Just let me know what got you there. I mean, the initiation of everything. You don't talk about that.
Well, what happened was I bought a car, 2014 Camaro, and it was wrecked when I bought it. But, you know, I did all the paperwork and everything I was supposed to do prior to buying it, because I buy cars and I fix them and I sell them.
Okay.
I purchased a car in Independence, Kansas, and I brought the car home, actually to my mother's house that doesn't stay too far away from me. One day I decided that I'm going to have a few days off work. I'm going to take the car and get some estimates, see what it's going to cost to get it fixed. And during that process, I stopped by my friend's house that stayed up the street from me. I park across the street from his house. It's pouring down raining. I run up to his door. I knock on the door. His girlfriend answers the door. They're in there arguing. I ask her, where's Mike at, which is my partner. I go in the back, talk to him, ask him what's going on. She comes back in, and she's like, hey, Prentice, is that your car outside? I was like, yeah, which one? She's like, the Camaro across the street. I said, yeah, why, what's up? She's like, well, I bagged into your car. And I was like, what more could you have done to it? So I said, well, let's call the police. We call the police. They say they're not coming out because it's Operation Slick Streets. If ain't nobody been hurt, just exchange information. We did all of that. The very next day, I called the U-Haul insurance company, because she was in a big U-Haul. Evidently, she just didn't see the car back there. And so I called them and explained to them what happened. They said, well, somebody, can you take some pictures of the car and all that? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I did everything she wanted me to do. So they called me back a few days later, and she says that we're going to have an insurance investigator come out and talk to you. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Well, he ends up calling me. He sets up a time and date to come talk to me, and I was like, he said, can we meet at 11 o'clock? I said, sure, I can get off about 11. That's about my lunchtime. Well, I'm at home waiting on him. He pulls up a little late. He gets out of his car. He comes up. He tells me who he is, and I said, okay. He says, is there any place we can talk? I said, sure. We can go in my house and talk. He's like, okay. My garage is already open. We walk past the Camaro. It's got a car cover over it. We go in the back door. We go sit down at my dining room table. I have a bar stool table. So I sit on one side. He sits like catty corner from me.
Oh, now hold on. Wait just a minute. Now, so were you the only two there at this time?
Yes, we're the only two there at the house. I stay by myself. Okay. We're the only two there.
All right, go ahead.
So you, okay. So we sitting at the table. He asked me for my ID so he makes sure that I am the person he's talking to. He pulls out his tape recorder, sets it on the table. He's got his paperwork and his file sitting on the table also. We're talking. We're having a good conversation. And then he starts asking me to sign some pictures. And so he's got the pictures of the Camaro, and I get the picture, and I look at it, and I go to sign it. And then he hand me another picture, and then I looked at that picture, and I was like, wait a minute, these ain't the pictures that I signed. So I'm thinking to myself, this something's going on. So when he
– Wait a minute. Now you got me
interested.
Hold it just a second, mm-hmm. brother. Slow down. You say
okay.
you signed another set of pictures, but those ones that he showed you were not the ones.
Yeah, they weren't the pictures of the Camaro that I sent to the insurance company. He had the pictures that he was wanting me to sign the pictures that when I had actually bought the Camaro, saying this is the same damage. I was like, wait a minute, that's not the picture that I sent.
Well, okay.
At that point in time, I'm looking at his folder. And I see I see a piece of paper sticking kind of like a quarter of the ways out of the file, and it had my picture on it. So I was like, "Hey, can I see that paper right there?" And I pointed to it, and he was like, "Which one?" I said, "That one right there." And so then he says, "Well, you know, I'm an investigator, right?" And I says, "Yeah, sure. Can I see that piece of paper?" He says, "Sure." So he grabs the piece of paper, he hands it to me, and I look at it, and it's my criminal rap sheet, and I was like, wait a minute, something's really not right now. Why would he have my criminal rap sheet? So at that time, I said, check this out. At this present moment in time, I feel like I need my attorney. I appreciate if you leave my house. Well, he stands up. I'm thinking that he's gathering his things so he can leave. I go to pull the paper back up to my face to read it. I feel somebody rush into me. Boom. I fall out of my chair up against the back of my couch. And I'm leaned back because he's over me, but I grab his arms. I fold his arms up in my hands to where he can't swing or nothing. So when I gain my balance, I push him off me. And before I could finish the next sentence, he was back in my face. And then I defended myself. I punched him three times. Well, you know, just out
now
of.
Now, hold it right there. Mm-hmm. Bro. Hold it. Slow down. Now, you saying that you are in a decent conversation with this guy, and because you showed him discrepancy regarding your file, a picture of your criminal conviction and paperwork, and suddenly you thought he was getting ready to walk up, get ready to leave, and he makes a mad dash at you.
Yeah, he assaulted
me. Am I correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, so you're telling me, I want the world to hear this now. That's why we got you, brother. You're in several states here. I'm asking you now, so are you saying that this guy just jumped up out of his chair? What precipitated, what reason after that point did he decide to jump up and attack you? What brought that on?
I don't know. That's a question I can't answer. I can only tell you what I did. I defended myself because he assaulted me. I don't know
why he did what he did.
Yeah, I don't know why he did what he did.
Okay. So now after the altercation, take us from that point on. What happened after that point?
Okay, so after I hit him three times, he went to the ground. He started bleeding. And I was like, all I could be is like, dang, I'm already on parole. I'm just in a frantic. So I just say, forget it. He was like, I just want to leave. I said, no, you can't leave until the police come. So I go to the back of my door, to the back door where we came in at, and I pushed the panic button on my alarm. That's all I knew what to do. So then the woman calls, she tells me, she says, Mr. Pons, is everything okay? I said, no, ma'am. Can you send the police to my house? I've been assaulted. She's like, they're on their way. And I was like, okay. So then the guy is standing up, and he's walking toward me. And I was like, hey, man, you need to sit down because you're bleeding all over the place. I was like, here, drink this water and get these paper towels so you can stop your bleeding. I reach in the icebox and give him a bottle of water. And so then he's standing there drinking the water. And at this time, I called my cousin that stays in Washington, D.C., and I told him exactly what happened. He was like, hey, get off the phone with me. Start taking pictures so you'll have some evidence if you need it. I said, okay. So while the guy was standing there drinking the water, I'm taking the pictures of everything in my house. Then the police show up. Well, the police, I walk outside. The police say, what's going on? Are you the homeowner? I say, yes. And he's like, okay, well, tell me what's going on. He says, well, where's the other guy at? I said, he's still in my house. So by that time, the other police officer come, and she said, can I go to the in your house to get him? I said, sure. So she go get him. I guess they come outside. I never see him because I'm on one half of my garage behind the car talking to the police, so I'm not even paying him no attention. Well, they call the ambulance. He doesn't want to go in the ambulance, and he's not really that hurt. He just got a busted forehead. And so then both fill out our police reports and all that. And so I tell the police, I said, so is he going to jail for assault or what? What's going on? He's like, well, I'm going to turn this over to the district attorneys and see who they want to pursue charges on. I was like, all right, whatever, okay. And he was like, well, do you mind me going in the house and looking around? I said, no, sir. I said, we can go in there. So he go in there. He started taking pictures. And then I said, well, is it okay for me to clean my house now? He was like, sure. Everybody leave. I go back to work. 4 months later, they come to my job saying, you got a warrant out for your arrest. You need to put your hands behind your back. I said, I'm not putting my hands behind my back. And they was like, I'm not going to tell you again. I said, well, I'm not telling you again. I'm not putting my hands behind my back for what?
No.
Uh-huh. You got a warrant for your arrest.
Uh-huh.
Huh? And so so they say, you got a warrant for your arrest. I said, for what? He would never tell me. And then I looked out the corner of my eye, and I seen like seven more police coming, and I was like, you know what, this not even really worth it. So I put my hands behind my back. Me and the detective have words going downtown because the detective know me. His name is Brandon Watkins. He knew me from when I was growing up. So he's having words with me, just really being irate and belligerent as any police would be, I guess. I don't know. And I'm getting mad. I'm mad, and I'm talking back to him, too, because you're not going to just talk to me any kind of way. And this, that, and another.
Amen,
and
bro.
So,
I'm with you.
And so once he gets me downtown, he puts me on the bench, and I'm sitting there waiting for – that's when I overhear the conversation of Detective Watkins and somebody else, whoever is in the back. I'm listening to him. They say, well, why'd you bring Mr. Pons down here? They was like, well, we were told to go pick him up and to call Steve Colbert when he gets down here. And then somebody said, well, we've already did our investigation. The man doesn't want to prosecute. And so – he's like, well, I don't know. By this time, they come get me, and they take me into the interrogation room. And that's when Steve Colbert comes in. He said, I'm with the Oklahoma Insurance Fraud Commission. My name is Stephen Colbert. I want to read you your rights. I said, you ain't got to read me my rights. I know my rights. Take me downtown and book me. So they come and get me, take me downtown, put me in the car. Detective Watkins get in. He says, before we go, he says, Prentice, as a man, I want to apologize to you for what I said. I was wrong. You know, I'm glad that you're working. If somebody would have did me like that in my home, I'd have did the same thing. I hope everything works out for you. So I said, okay, as a man, I accept your apology, you know, because I was mad because of the things you were saying. Plus, this is some BS. And he was like, well, like I said, I hope everything works out for you. So they take me downtown, give me $500,000 bond. I sat in jail for 63 days.
Oh, what?
They dismissed the case. Yeah, it gave me $500,000
bond. Hold it, brother. You said $500,000 bond.
Uh huh. $250,000 on each charge.
Man, are you kidding me, man? I mean, the point, it seems like to me, the point was not to make sure that you were released, but to make sure you stayed in there regardless of whether you were guilty or not. I mean, that's what's really problem
exactly.
Here in Oklahoma, about where this matters at, brother, because this is a weird, wicked, weird old state we're living in. Give me just a second. I have to take a station break, but we're going to pick back up where you left off at about your $250,000 bond for two charges. Hold on, just right back here. This is your People Power Radio right in Oklahoma City. You got Tree Shaker Michael Washington. We're going to be back with you here briefly. We'll shortly hang on just a minute, and we're going to listen to a little music. Thank you.
mind and my heart. I believe in love. I believe in love. I feel that I'll stress them more. From deep in my soul.
All right, now deep in my soul, this is your guy, Michael Watson, the Tree Shaker right here in Oklahoma City. Yours truly, the show where your ideas, your thoughts, and opinions count, no matter who you are, race, creed, or color. This is your show tonight, People Power Radio. I am your host, again, Michael Washington, the Tree Shaker. Tonight, again, for those of you who are just joining in, we had a few people who I don't know if they've contacted us just yet, but we have a few panel guests tonight that we're going to be talking along with Brother Prentice Pons, who we already have understood that he's serving a life sentence, as well as 25 years for an incident that occurred right in his home. And he was later arrested 4 months later and charged with charges. Again, I'm going to let him come out and tell you here in just a little bit. But again, we're going to have, we're waiting on, I don't know if Pastor Francetta Lawana Mays has contacted us just yet, but we're definitely going to try to find out if she's here or not, because she's actually been on the show before. And she's also an advocate for Brother Pond. She's also a Tulsa Chapter NAACP member and very influential and very motivated there as well, and we're proud to have her here with us. Sister Mayette is going to be here as well. And, of course, Sister Yolanda Washington, who is also going to, on March the 26th of next year, host a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, regarding Brother Prentice's release. And we're definitely going to be keeping our ear to the ground to make sure that we are there and have someone there, hopefully, to represent him and maybe try and see what we can do to get some of the media there as well. So, again, Brother Pond, thank you for being here today. And before we finish on, I just want to see if any of our panel guests has arrived yet. And if any of our guests has arrived, can you identify yourself so that way I'll know?
Hello, my name is Akia Yeboa. I am the chairman of the Fred Hampton Gun Club of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
I have just started a chapter down here in Oklahoma City built for the empowerment of our people. I have just came into the knowledge of Mr. Prentice's case. I'm here to gather a little bit more information, and what I've heard, I feel very uncomfortable with how he was treated by the state of Oklahoma. I have been here my entire life, and I have seen a lot of things, and now I'm in a position to make some changes. And Mr. Prentice deserved to be treated justly, and I feel like our justice system here in Oklahoma City is flawed significantly. There, a lot of details about his case sounded to me like it was a setup, like they were saying, okay, you know, he has done all this stuff in his past. You know, we don't want him to rehabilitate himself. We don't want that to happen.
Right.
We just want to throw him right back into the system and not give him what he has worked hard for, to be out here, to have a life, to be with his family, and to really you know, live here in Oklahoma as a regular citizen. I don't feel that he is being treated justly in any form or fashion. And it's really dear to me because, you know, I have a father, I have a stepfather, I have brothers, you know, and any of these things can happen to them. And my family is a little bit diverse. I have Hispanics in my family. And I have also, you know, of course, my father is, you know, African descent, and also my stepfather is also. And
Amen.
To see that
Amen.
Happening to our men here in Oklahoma, it really shakes it up for me, you know. And I'm just not okay with that. So whatever the Fred Hampton Gun Club chapter of Oklahoma City can do to stand behind Prentice in his case, we're here.
Thank you. Well, see, thank you, sister. See, that's exactly why we have this radio show, which is your show. I mean, we're looking for ideas with people. I don't care if you're in Denver, Chicago, Minnesota, we can reach you. So what we're saying is that if you got a reasonable, legitimate concern, your People Power Radio show is your show. And before we leave, we're going to get some information about the gun club that you're speaking about, and hopefully we can get it on the air. And I don't know if Sister Yolanda Washington, are you on here yet? I don't think she is. What about Pastor Francetta? Okay, yes, Sister. Now, okay, I want to get a few words with you two regarding about, you know, your plans up there in Tulsa with Brother Prentice. You know, you told me a lot about his situation as well, and I just, like I told you tonight, that I wanted to get this information out here because, like I said, we got several states listening in. And if you would, give us a little bit of background about your involvement with NAACP and what you think about this case.
Well, first of all, good evening, everyone, and thank you for being woke. Right now, my name is Pastor Francetta Mays. My involvement with the NAACP is now newly appointed chief of staff, which means that I'm over all of the chair positions here in Tulsa. And that that just happened yesterday, Mike. So that gives me a lot of power regarding media, regarding a lot of things. So I'm excited. I'm excited that everyone's on here. And Prentice Pons was a case that actually surfaced in the genesis, like the first month that I became involved in criminal justice advocacy. I ran across Mr. Pons, and in tears, he started telling me his story and telling me that he was so tired of telling this story and that he cried every time he told this story. And it really shook me to hear what happened to him, to actually see the pictures. I have the pictures. And it just made no sense. Yes. And so my goal, after I started really digging into the state of Oklahoma, I realized that it wasn't personal toward Mr. Pons. It's standard in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Rest on that for a moment. We've all been allowing this system. I love what's happening in Detroit. I love the fact that the minds of the strong are taking leadership and taking an initiative to step out and step into a realm that hasn't even been created. We have to create space in this time zone right now. Because Mr. Pons, because I told him he's my Rosa Parks, he's the one that's innocent, that I get to show them that you messed up. He's the one that we get to pull out, and I get to say, you know, to them that, okay, this was a black issue. You know, you don't want us to be upset about it being a black issue until we identify with you that it's a black issue. So Mr. Pons, you know, they can't say that Mr. Pons had any crimes attached to him. He was totally innocent in his home. So the NAACP standing behind him and plan to do campaigns on his behalf, and we're just going to get the noise. He's done the work. He has done the work. His case, I don't know if he had an opportunity to tell you, but his case is already sitting at the appeal court. All we have to do is make Julius Jones noise right now. And so everyone on this call, I just charge and challenge each one of you to find out a little bit about Mr. Pons, and let's blow up the internet. Use him as an example, and I guarantee you one thing. We are going to set a standard. And we're going to form a blueprint that we will be able to change laws and make that the standard. We'll be able to get some of these politicians out the way, as Detroit is doing, and put our people that hear our voice, because that's a Bible scripture. If my people that hear my voice, we are listening to the voice of God right now, and every door is going to open up, and we will get the victory. And Mr. Pons will be out real soon. I'm declaring and decreeing that. So that's all I've
All right. Well, don't go anywhere, though, because we'll be back in just a minute. Y'all got to take a quick break. But I'll be back. Oh. Yes, we found the greatest love of all inside of us. I'll tell y'all what, y'all, every time I hear that Sister Whitney Houston sing, I mean, she's been a very good friend of mine for many, many years. I tell you what, our children are our future. So that's what we're trying to do tonight, to make sure that our future are giving the proper perspective, the respect, and recognition. Because let me tell y'all something, being African-Americans here in the Western Hemisphere, our time is very limited. As you all know today, we can walk with our hands up, still be shot down. Be pulled over because a stoplight be shot down because of the unique color of our skin, and this should not be happening to us. So, again, I'm very well aware of Brother Prentice's position and condition, and I myself has already made a pact with him and gave him my word that I will be down there probably in Tulsa probably next week, and I just want to go and look at his court file and maybe share that with the district attorney down there again, but I want to stay in my lane because I'm not the one orchestrating all of this. I want to have permission before I move anything with the organizers there so that everybody can be on the same page. And we just want this brother to be given freedom, justice, and equality. We're not going to sell anything less, and I mean business, bottom line. That's my slogan. That's been my slogan. I've just been started tonight. So, again, yes, Sister Yolanda, are you here yet, Zach? I guess she's not. She's still not. Yolanda. Okay, well, anyway, she's supposed to be doing a march on the 26th of March of next year to try and get this brother.
Mr. Washington, I can speak on that. This is Brooke.
Okay, Brooke. Okay, come on, Brooke, come on.
How you doing tonight? I'm with Nash. I'm doing great. I'm actually at work. I took a break to call in.
Okay, come on. Talk to me.
So I'm Brooke. I'm with the National Plus Coalition. I have been an advocate for Prentice for about 8-9 months now. And Prentice is a case of clear racial disparities and also railroading in Oklahoma. Because if you listen to his story, the charges that were placed against him first were such crazy bogus charges, the things that he could have possibly been charged with that they might have had somewhat of a case would have been assault and kidnapping. But, you know, they originally did have him charged with kidnapping, but they had no evidence to get a conviction, so they dropped that. And so they added on a robbery where the man didn't steal anything. He was in his own home.
Wow.
And I just think it's, you know, crazy how railroaded he was in the fact that the current prosecutor and the governor is not doing anything about cases like this. We currently are asking organizations to also send in letters to the new prosecution because the prosecutor that is in now is a different one from when Prentice was convicted.
Okay.
So if any organization would like to do that, we can get that to you.
Okay, let me say this before. Don't go yet, because I still want to hear some more from you. So you're saying that the attorney that's in office now wasn't there at the time when Elvin was there, right?
Yes.
No,
the prosecutor,
she's not there. The prosecutor's not there, but the head DA, he's still there. Kunzweiler is still there.
Okay, that's that. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, Brooke, don't leave yet. So now, Brooke, you say you've been in it for quite a while with Prentice. And now, where are you from? Let everybody know where you're from and what got you involved in it. Tell us what's going on there.
So I'm originally from Ohio, but I now live in Mississippi. And I was really new to being an advocate when Prentice reached out to me. And he just told me his story, and I kind of was lost. I really didn't know what to do, how to help him, but I knew that I wanted to. So what we started doing is trying to get him – I'm sorry?
No, I said amen. Go ahead. I'm just congratulating.
So we started trying to get him on as many podcasts as possible just to get his story out there and trying to get as many other organizations involved as possible because, you know, numbers makes a change. So that
Amen.
Was my goal when I first got involved was to get as many people on Team Prentice as possible and to share his story and get it out there, the injustices that happened to him.
Okay. Well, let me say this here. So if a person wanted to contact your organization, what steps do they need to take? Then y'all might have to go back and take about another minute break, and then we can finish out. But go ahead, Brooke. How do we reach you if somebody wants to contact you?
Okay, so we're the National Plus organization, the National Plus Coalition. You can email us at events@thenationalpluscoalition.com. You can also reach us on our Facebook page, the National Plus Coalition. Yolanda Washington is our events coordinator. And like you were speaking on, we are doing a rally in March to stand in solidarity with Mr. Prentice. And that is April 26th. And you can also call me directly at 513-290-0143.
And that number again is what?
513-290-0143.
All right, y'all heard it from Brooke up there in Mississippi. All right, Brooke, so tell me a little bit, let me take back one more, about maybe 30, 40 seconds here. Kevin, how's the situation up there in prison settings, up there in jailhouses and things? What's going on up there? Is it as bad as it all down here or what?
It's a tragedy. I actually was a corrections nurse for 12 weeks on a contract when I first moved here, and I was appalled by the conditions of the prisons in Mississippi.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, Judge. Again, you stay on as long as you can, but y'all have to take another break, and we're going to get back with Bubba Pond because – let me tell you, my Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, again, our motto is change your world will change around us. These are some of the very principles and foundations that we stand on as well. No person left behind. Let's get that understood. In other words, you change your world will change around you. So, again, we're definitely willing to work with your organization, Brooke, as well as any other organization, NAACP and others. Again, numbers will win, just like the roaring lion of the jungle. He claimed his home, and it's going to be his home whether he wants to be or not. So, again, I'm thanking y'all very much, and hopefully we'll be down there for this rally, and we can bring some people with us, and hopefully we can all get together before that time. And, look, maybe since y'all are coordinating down there, maybe you can do a Zoom call maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that time, and we can coordinate about who's going to do what, who's going to speak or whatever, because I'm really sincere about this here. Y'all give me a break. I'll be right back. This is People Power Radio from Oklahoma City, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. Hang on for just 1 minute.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. Only place to be, and so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to want in anyone.
your station, People Power Radio, where your voice, your opinion, and ideas count. This is your guy, the Tree Shaker. I'm Michael Washington right here in Oklahoma City. The weather word outside right now is 52 degrees. Nice day to get out, have a party, to have fun with your friends or whatever you're going to do. But just when you get out, just be careful, y'all. Tonight we're talking about Brother Prentice Pons right here in Oklahoma City, serving time here in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. He is serving a life sentence in 25 years for an incident that occurred right in his own home. Obviously, now I want to say a few things, and we're going to definitely get him back on there and really have a little bit of time for everyone else to say something else. But I want to say right now, what Oklahoma has told me, by the way, in just a little time that I've heard and what I've heard tonight, tells me that you're not allowed to defend yourself even in your own home, despite that you have a Make My Day law. These people are so contradictory, they don't know what they want to be right or wrong. I mean, I guess they decide what making your day is. Now, maybe if we had been on the street and got a fight on the street corner, we know what would have happened. If he found guilt in his own home, he'd have been on the street. All that guy had to say something, we automatically get guilt. I mean, this is my idea. But again, we are demanding that Brother Prentice Pons be given relief, as many of us who are also wrongfully incarcerated. Now, I want to tell y'all something. God let us see this injustice right here to let us know that more than Mr. Pons, there are other cases like his. Persons just don't have the finance, the resource, or connection to deal with their wrongful incarceration. So what I want to do, for the most part, Brother Pons, we're going to give you the floor here in just a minute. But what I want to do here is let everybody know that we want to try to put a coalition together so that we can actually look at the conditions of people who are incarcerated who have a claim, an allegation of being wrongfully incarcerated. We want to be able to have a committee that's designed, a legal division that's designed to correct those injustices that may be visited upon them. And we're going to hope again that we have workers from every organization and field to help us out here because, again, without us, the people lose. So, Brother Pond, now let me, you know, you kind of, are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, Brother Pond, yeah, you got me kind of interested here. Now, you said when the police got there, they said that you can go into, you let them into your house, right?
Yes.
And they searched your house down. Did you get arrested at that point or later on?
I got arrested 4 months later.
Okay, now hold on. Now, did the guy who fought you in your home ever get arrested?
No, sir.
Now, hold on now. If we have two people tangling in a fist fight, altercation, and I get arrested 4 months later and he doesn't, does that tell you, sir, I'm sure all of my listening audience as well, that there's a discriminatory practice here? Because, wait a minute, it has to have been the fight, first of all, that initiated the whole process. Because everything else came after it. Nothing came before the fight. So if there's no fight, listen to me, brother, I'm trying to show you how we're going to work with this here. Then you can have the floor. If there's no fight, there's no charge, right? So therefore,
exactly.
Here is a line of defense that I basically would like to use with you. After I get with Book and those up there, now again, this is just my statement because I'm on a radio show. But you take away a fight, which is actually the probable cause, then you take that away, you have no charge of anything. So I want to ask you one last thing. Now, when you got to jail, how long did you remain in jail before you released? In other words, did you forget or did you actually make the $250,000 bonds that they put on you? What happened on that? I didn't forget, so
it
I just want to let you know that.
It was a $500,000 bond. It was $250,000 per charge.
Right.
And I couldn't make that bond. So I sat in jail for 63 days, and they dismissed it.
Okay. Now, hold it. They dismissed it on what ground? Insufficient evidence?
Lack of prosecuting witness.
Okay, now, hold on just a minute, brother. I'm trying to get away. Well, we got a listening audience here. So at what point at that time after they dropped him, did they pick him back up and give you the third charge now, kidnapping?
Six months later.
Okay, now 6 months later. So are they saying now that a witness outside of the one who was in the house with you came forward or something? What are they saying?
They said that The insurance fraud investigator said that I made a statement to him during the interrogation.
That's what we're looking for. Now, okay. Now, are you saying you did or didn't make
it? I've never made a statement. No statement was ever produced at trial or nothing.
Gotcha. Okay, so again, as Book and Sister Mays just stated a while ago, Pastor Mays, sounds like you were framed as a black man who stood up for his constitutional and civil rights and who refused to have been railroaded on your own. In other words, you refused to allow them to let you participate in the wrongful conditions and behavior and actions of the judicial system. Now, I'm told that you and I spoke before we came on the radio. You said something that they offered you a deal and a plea, but you wouldn't take it. Is that right?
They offered me 2 years' time served.
Okay, now you said you wouldn't take it. Tell the world why you wouldn't take it.
Well, for one, I wasn't taking it because I wasn't guilty of anything. I was already on parole, and they said that they were it was going to be a felony conviction, and they were going to violate my parole. And I had 20 years on paper. I had got out of prison in 2010. I had started working once I got home. I had been on my job for 7 years and 10 months. I was a supervisor. I made good money. I had my own home. I worked six days a week, 13-hour days. All I did was go to work and come home.
Wow, you stayed at work, and that was your lifetime, no wonder.
That was it.
Okay, so now tell me, Brother Man, and then we got a few minutes left. We're going to let each one of our panel, have a few more words before we go. I usually like to do that. Now tell me this. What has this incarceration done to affect your family relationship? Do you have any children out there or anything? Tell me about that. What are your feelings on that?
I just tell them I have children. I have 3 girls and 1 boy. I've got 6 grandkids. And I just tell them to, yes. I haven't never seen 4 of my grandkids. I've only seen 2 of them. I just tell my kids to be strong, and I'm doing what's right. I try to tell my kids to do what's right, stand up for what's right. Don't let nobody do anything to you or bulldog
Amen.
You into
Amen.
Doing something that is right. I mean, do what's right, and that's all I tell them. And I just, It's a terrible mess. It's just a whole bad, just a bunch of bad situations that just, bad events that just made this whole thing as it is. But, not only have I been wrongfully accused and wrongfully prosecuted, you over-sentenced me anyway. It's just like you try to take all the air out of me. You try to take all the hope that I have in me by giving me the life in 25 for nothing. I did nothing. And everything that I have, I can prove. They had no reason to send me to prison. They don't want to look at the pictures that I have that the jury didn't see of the man standing in my kitchen drinking the water with the bloody paper towels on.
Wow.
He said at trial that they asked him what happened. During the fight, he said, during the fight, Mr. Pons took my belongings. They said, well, what happened after the fight? Mr. Pons gave me some water to drink to stop the bleeding. Well, the pictures that I got show him standing in my kitchen drinking the water with the same stuff he said was taken during the fight. After the fight.
Oh, really?
Yes. And as far as the insurance fraud go, I never committed any fraud. When I called about the Camaro, I specifically emailed the people and said, hey, did this car, can you give me a print out everything wrong with it? Does the car have any frame damage? The people told me, no, it doesn't. They clearly stated in the email, no frame damage. But when I took the car to get fixed, they said that the private investigator found out that they actually wrote a statement saying the car spent 3 hours on the frame machine getting the frame straightened. Well, investigator asked them, was like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense, because when Prentice bought the car, I have the paperwork saying it don't have frame damage, and you mean to tell me it was on the frame machine for 3 hours getting the frame straightened? He said, so what happened? He said it had to be a secondary collision, hence the woman saying she backed into the car.
Oh, my goodness.
But
okay.
They don't want me to produce.
I'm going to have to end it right here, but I'll tell you what.
Okay.
This is not going to be the last show that we do on this. Matter of fact, we'll get you back here in 2 weeks, by that time I've been in read your paperwork, and we'll be able to share with everyone who's here tonight about what progress we've done. But first of all, I want to get it approved by the organizers in Tulsa. Again, I stay in my lane. I don't want any credit for anything other than the fact that I was there to help you get released if we can make it happen. So I want to say to y'all before we get out of here that with Sister Mayada with the Fred Hampton Gun Club, you still with us?
Yes, sir. I am still here.
Okay, Sister, give me about a minute and a half and tell me exactly what you want to do here and how you think you can help with this situation, this brother, because like I said, if we let this go, this is just going to give them an incentive to think they can continue to do what they want to do. So talk to me with you.
You know, contact me directly, it's going to be 405-905-0302.
Okay.
Again, that's 405-905-0302. We also have a Facebook page under the Fred Hampton Gun Club of Oklahoma City. You can also message us. I will provide my email a little bit later. I don't have that information right now, but I will definitely have that available on the website if you guys want to directly contact me.
Mm-hmm.
This case right here with Mr. Pons, I'm here 100%, the Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City. Just to hear Mr. Pons really, you know, pour his heart out about his innocence and how he couldn't even defend himself in his home without this happening is alarming and should alarm Oklahoma in general and bring awareness to the fact that we are not safe here. You know what I mean? That we need to protect each other. And we need to really stand behind the freedom of Mr. Pond. I don't understand how they charge this innocent man with all these, you know, with 25 years plus life. I don't understand that.
Man.
And that's not fair and that's not just. That's not giving him the ability to be with his family. And to really his life like he is entitled to. He worked so hard. Just listening to that moved me. And I just, I'm, like I said, any form of fashion that you need, Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma City, you can contact me directly. You can also contact me on Facebook, on our Facebook page. I will stay in contact with you, Mr. Michael Washington, and also the others on the panel tonight about more details and how we can make this case big here in Oklahoma. We already we've seen the effects of what Oklahoma does with the Julius Jones case. And now, and on top of that, with Mr. Pons, it has to stop. It has to stop.
Ma'am.
The liberation of our people and their freedom matters, and Mr. Pons deserves to be out now.
And on that note, sis, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Y'all, we got about 5 minutes left, but I wanted Pastor Princetta to tell a little bit of information about how we can contact her up there as well. And if we don't have enough time, y'all, to finish it out, we will be having, we know each other on Facebook, like say Instagram or whatever we want to. As long as y'all eat my popcorn up, we're going to be all right. Let me cut that. But anyway, Pastor, what's going on in your mind? Tell me what's going on.
Okay, well, we can be contacted by emailing the NAACP,
NAACP.
As in criminal.
Uh-huh.
And the initials CJD for Criminal Justice Division.
Okay.
At gmail.com. Repeat that one more
time?
That's our...
Repeat that one more time.
Right. It's the NAACPCJD at gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Okay, I got you. All right, y'all. I hate to cut everybody off here, but let me go ahead.
Mike, come on. Let me just
go
say
ahead.
Really, really quick. If you guys could go to the Tulsa NAACP Criminal Justice Facebook page, I'll have all information on how to contact me, how we can get more involved, and how we can solidify this with powerful numbers. So thank you, Mike.
All right. I'm ready. Okay. That's great. Yeah. So everybody go to the NAACP Tulsa Chapter Criminal Justice page, and we can just about, again, she's going to give the information we need. I'm talking to fast, y'all, now because we're about to run out of time. But let me say next week, I just talked to a beautiful sister up there in Washington, and she's going to be doing a show next week. I'm glad everybody's on here. Hopefully all of y'all can tune in because the name of the show is going to be Free at Last, Achieving the Dream. And she only wants to be identified as the angry activist. But she's going to be talking about the need for us as the African-American community to be getting involved with others in learning about the importance of CMONEY and how we can, in turn, come across that money we need to be independent, self-governing here, self-autonomy here in the United States. And our ideas are very worthwhile, very energetic, very revolutionary. So I want all of you to know that we're definitely going to have our own. And hopefully y'all can come in next week and have her ideas. And we're definitely going to have the brother up there from Detroit that's having an economic program up there, y'all. I'll feed y'all that information a little later on. Well, but let me tell y'all something. This guy is not playing. You know, this guy is already an economic up there in Detroit. Them brothers and sisters up there. As Pastor Francetta just told you a while ago, they're showing out up there. You hear me? Yes. Those brothers and sisters up there are taking that community back. They're buying homes, fixing them up, putting their brothers and sisters to work, getting them off the street. I mean, they're not just talking about it. They're being about it. So, again, the next show will be next week, this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock, Free at Last, Achieving the Dream. And it's going to be, our host is going to be the angry activist. That's what she want to be recognized by, and we'll ask her why that is whenever she's on the show. But, again, if y'all can be on it, we would definitely love you to be another part of it because, again, this is also a part of the dream. So thank y'all very much. And, again, I'll say goodbye and good night, and thank y'all for joining in, and may you all have a wonderful, blessed night tonight. Be blessed, everybody. I'm going to leave y'all with Whitney Houston a little bit later, and be chill, be cool, be free. Be nice. Bye, y'all. Oh, let me almost got that. Captain Burkoff gave me the shirt. I almost forgot that. Let me turn that off. I've got 30 seconds. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. I was just informed that I needed to say that, so I had to say that to y'all because I'd have got in trouble had it not. Again, here's a few seconds left. 10 seconds, y'all. Goodbye. Be blessed, everybody. Thank you.